Hey, what is going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode, the latest rendition of the Sports Summit here on Shooting the Sports-ish. Some tough news. We thought about it, and after Shooting the Sports-ish brought us on, paid for us to be here, gave us a platform, developed a culture for us, developed a following for us, and then gave us the opportunities to be seen in public and make some money off of this, we're gonna break away and go somewhere else. Oh, that was pretty good.
Why not? Seems like the hot new craze nowadays.
Seems like something that other people are doing. I do believe it is as well. I'm sure some snarky remarks will be made throughout the show on that particular, we'll call it an incident, worldwide epidemic. We don't know. A sports epidemic. Let's call it that. We haven't had one of those in a while. So appreciate you guys joining us. The Sports Summit, again, back here on Shooting the Sports-ish with Chris, Coach. I'm Cam. And this episode is sponsored by, we have a sponsor, guys. Sponsored by Sleafs.com. If you are in the mood to get some great workout and activewear gear when you're heading into the summer and you're looking to shed a little bit or looking to, you know, get ripped or start running again, what have you. Head over to Sleafs.com. You can get cool headbands like this one. I also have another one that says Texas with the Texas State flag on it. So you can get awesome headbands. You get awesome shirts, shorts, sleeve wear, all the apparel that you need to look awesome while you're working out over the summer. Head to Sleafs.com. And when you go to checkout, type in promo code STSI25 for 25% off your order. There you go, guys. Head on over to Sleafs.com. Stuff is awesome. I've been buying Sleafs for years. Honestly, I love their stuff. It's some of the best workout gear I've ever worn.
How do you spell that that website?
It is SLEEFS.com. And at checkout, again, that's STSI, Shooting the Sports-ish, but condensed, STSI25 for 25% off your entire order.
Excellent.
There we go, guys. We have a sponsor. Look at us.
That's fantastic.
We're going places, and right now we're just going to walk away from all that because, you know, that's what you do now. We're going to go create our own super network.
We're covering by ourselves.
Can we use the term Super League?
We're calling it the Super Network. That's actually what we're calling it. We haven't told the guy that runs Shooting the Sports Ish yet, but if he hops into the live feed, maybe we'll let him know.
And look,
we're going to tell him at like the 11th hour. We're going to send an email in the middle of the night.
We got six groups from Spain. We got six from Italy. We got six from Germany. We're going international here.
Absolutely. Okay. There you go.
And for the other 90% that are also hurting through this tough time, screw you. We don't need you.
Exactly. Yeah. We need to make our own money because it's a thing. So today's episode, obviously the Super League stuff just broke. It's absolutely nuts what's happening. We have new things that are coming out almost by the hour now. What I will say is if you do listen to our site or if you're just coming upon us, head over to Radio Techers on our YouTube, on our YouTube page. Go to Radio Techers, find their latest episode. They cut it yesterday. It is an incredible breakdown of what happened in the Super League, what it means, what could come from it, everything that's negative, you know, that could destroy soccer, but a full breakdown from all points of view. Radio Techers did, Tanner and Mags, they did an absolutely incredible job with it. So please head over there. We will continue talking about Super League as more things develop, but we just had Techers cut an amazing podcast on it yesterday. So we're gonna drive you guys to their stuff because they're in the trenches with all of it.
If you want more Super League, just wait till next Monday.
Yep, it's going to percolate. It continues to happen minute by minute right now.
Because it's going to be another week of me just sitting here and stewing, and the rant is going to get better and better. So
it really is. And for those of you that have not been around for a Chris rant, it's solid. It's some good stuff.
It is enjoyable.
It's some really good stuff. So so that's going to come from us next week. We're going to let the Super League stuff continue to play out. We're going to defer to our soccer guys on the channel, give them an opportunity to let you guys know what's going on. And then we'll come back to it on Monday. We'll look at it from all angles as well. But tonight, this night, is all about the NFL first round.
And the draft happens to go, Cam, the draft order. as we appear on screen. Me, Chris, Cam.
That was the cue. You had one job.
You know, I hit the button and my computer just...
There we go.
There it is.
Yep.
So, Chris, this was an awesome idea by you. So we're going to let you kind of take the reins on this one, man. Let us know what's happening.
Yeah, so we are using the Draft Network, excellent website for all your draft needs and mock drafts and all that stuff. Not sponsored, just an incredible website. I've seen all these pundits out there.
Punditing.
Give their own mock drafts. So,
punditing.
You know, like good, responsible media we are. We're going to sit here and tell you 32 picks we'd make and because everyone else is.
And damn it, we're going to tell you why.
Yeah, there you go. That too. So the order will be coach first, I will go second, and then Cam right above will go third. So if you want to lead us off here, I will be controlling the universal draft board. You guys both have your draft boards pulled up. So whenever you want your selection to be made, let me know who it is and I will make it so the chat and the people at home can follow along.
Okay.
I'm the Bob Ross of mock drafts. I'm going to take them on a journey.
We're pretty sure what's going to happen is most every podcast on Shooting the Sports Ish is going to present a first round mock and see whose is the closest to the real life draft that's going to happen in the next few weeks. So this is our collective paper that we're turning in to Shooting the Sports Ish for what we think is going to happen in the mock draft. So this is a fun game between everybody. On the network, but obviously we're going to dominate because we're the best and we're the best looking podcast. So that's
awesome. Indeed.
Yeah. So we have to win.
Yep. So with that being said, the
Jaguars are taking a punter.
All right, we can't have NFC West already starting off. It's going.
All right. We saw.
Ken hopping in early saying go Rams. Ken, Rams fan, hang in there. Let's see how we ruin your team in the first round.
That's right.
I don't think they have a first-round pick for the next 8 years.
Are we ready to roll, fellas?
Yeah, I think we're good. Pops, you are the number one pick. You have the easiest job in the world. There's no way you could screw this up.
Yeah, Chris, this is – Cam, this is something that – you know, I'm substantially older than you two, and this is something that's only come around maybe 3 or 4 times in my lifetime that I can remember, that there is a dead lock – at number one. There is no way you can stray from this player. The team has a need at that area bad. They've got a brand new coach who is a very good coach at that position. There is no way you can walk by a talent like this being a team like the Jaguars. If you don't draft Trevor Lawrence number one and you're the Jaguars, the city will burn.
Yes.
And I will probably go up there and watch. Trevor Lawrence, undoubtedly, unquestionably, one of the just solid number ones in a long, long time to where there's just no argument. Absolutely no argument. So I'm taking Trevor Lawrence at number one. That wasn't too hard. Now I can build my team around this quarterback because my number one need on the Jaguars is a quarterback.
Yep, and you guys both have your draft networks pulled up so you can fill in the board along the way so we don't run into people drafting the same people twice. If I'm not mistaken, didn't some of the Jaguars fans donate to Trevor Lawrence's charity for like a wedding gift for him and his fiance?
They donated. Did. Yep, they bought him wedding gifts, he and his fiance, and he gave back $20,000 to thank those who donated for his wedding gift. Yes.
Yeah.
So,
by the way, guys, just so
he's endeared himself there already.
Let's take a moment here because Ken hit us back with something that we don't see a lot in this sport. Born and raised Rams fan.
Wow. Now, wait a minute. Is he from St. Louis?
Well, I mean, Ken, let us know where you're from, how you got there. But a born and raised Rams fan is not something you hear a lot.
Something you don't see.
Not anymore. Yeah. You don't hear that often. I only changed teams because after college, I was going to try out for the team I now follow. So that's the only reason.
So, yeah. Trevor Lawrence, basically the presumed number one pick since he was 12. So I don't think we're going to have any disagreements here.
None.
Okay. Absolutely none. That's the no brainer of the draft.
So that leaves me at number two, which I think is another, honestly, no brainer. The Jets need a lot of help, but they need the most help at the most important position in all of football, quarterback. A couple weeks ago, if you would ask me this question, I would have gone a little bit different with it. But after watching some more tape, watching some more breakdowns, I'm going to stick with Zach Wilson at number two here. The intangibles he has are so high. He has probably the highest ceiling out of any of these draft quarterbacks in the draft, and probably the lowest floor, too. I think the Jets need somebody who they can look at and go, that's our guy for the next 5 to 10 years. Five, because the Jets have nobody and he'll probably get injured. Let's hope 10. But he's got a rocket of an arm, probably the best arm in the class. They need that game changer at quarterback. I think Robert Saleh is going to love having him there. However, I will say this now. This is just my point. I think whatever quarterback goes to the team that's picking right now is going to have the best career out of every quarterback in this class.
Oh,
interesting.
So, yeah, but I want Zach Wilson, rock of an arm, got the swagger for New York. I think he's going to be perfect for him.
All right.
And you don't often hear swagger and BYU in the same breath.
Yeah. Not since Fredette. Not since old Jimmer. Ken, chiming back in here. Let's just keep with it. Born in LA.
Well, there you go. I got respect for that. Somebody who sticks with their town.
Curious here for Ken. I believe the follow-up question we're all thinking we have to ask is, when they left, how'd we feel? When they went to St. Louis, how'd we feel? Clearly he stayed, but what were the emotions?
There you go.
I mean, look at what the Browns did. Holy moly, the Browns fans.
Look what it
crushed me when Baltimore slipped out of town in the middle of the night.
It's a tough one. Third pick, San Francisco.
Cam, 49ers. San Fran.
There was a lot of talk. There was a lot of Mac Jones hype. I'm sticking with what I thought it was going to be from day one. The hype could overrule me. That's fine. But, whatever happens, happens. Number three, quarterback, The Ohio State University, Justin Fields.
I agree with you there. I think
here's my thing. Aside from Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields is the most decorated quarterback in this class, and it's not even close. It's not even close. But he's done, like, aside from Mac Jones in the ring, he's the only other one that's comparable for hardware. But as far as games played, wins, big wins, wins on the road, showing up in the conference championship game, showing up in postseason play, all he does is win. It's not even close that it's Justin Fields. It's just not even close.
The only two things that scare me about that is the history of the Ohio State quarterback has not been good. And I like Mac Jones because he plays the SEC schedule his entire career. He's playing better defenses than they are at the Ohio State University. Those are the two intangible things I take from that. Now, I'm not saying the kid's not a good quarterback. He is. And I'm hoping he turns that Ohio State jinx around. I really do.
The two things I'll say about Justin Fields is, if one, he stays at Georgia, there's no doubt he's the number two quarterback, if not the number one quarterback coming off the board, because I think people aren't thinking about Ohio State and everything. And two, the only really bad showing he had is when he played Indiana, and like they were a top 10 defense, if I'm not mistaken. So I think the three quarterbacks that we took right here are 1A, or 1A, 1B, 1C. I think these three are elite of the elite. I think Mac Jones at three is a smokescreen, personally. Especially after today, where Trey Lance had a second pro day and the 49ers basically put his pro day together and had him do everything they wanted him to do there. So,
yeah.
Who knows? The Niners might not even know what they're doing at three at this point. So, it's going to be interesting to see.
Yep. Ken said Rams moving to St. Louis, worst day of his life. Totally makes sense. Definitely get that.
Sure.
There you go.
Sure.
There you go. All right, Atlanta, you're on the clock.
Atlanta's interesting. They need a lot, as do a lot of the teams across the league. But this might be the draft where you see the first time four quarterbacks in the first four picks. this potentially could really be that draft. And Matt Ryan is not getting any younger. Mm-hmm. He still produces, but he's in the twilight of his career. So for somebody to come in and take that mantle, learn from him, I think that they're going to go quarterback. And if I had this pick and I had the three players that are gone now, I would take Trey Lance at number four for the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Intangibles out the wazoo. Ridiculous athlete that can also throw the ball like Patrick Mahomes. And more athletic Patrick Mahomes is what you know you hear a lot of people say about him coming out of college. I think it's a perfect fit. There's two people that I would go if I was the Falcons. It would be Trey Lance or Kyle Pitts here.
Kyle Pitts was the second for them. Their second biggest need is the tight end position there.
Yeah, but Trey Lance, perfect. He can come in, sit for a year or eight games into the season. If you're 2-6, Matt Ryan, sorry, but you're out. He's probably not going to be back for another year, so this is a perfect pick for them, I think.
That's why it's so good for them setting up, because he can sit behind an established all-pro starter and not be pressured into having to jump in there right now.
Mm-hmm. I kind of would go the opposite way from you guys as far as Trey goes. I would go Kyle Pitts here at four. I feel like if I'm looking at who can do the most for me right now, Matt Ryan is a steady enough quarterback. If I give him another weapon, it's going to be a down division with Carolina isn't still good, right? They got Sam Darnold, but like, what's that really going to do for them? New Orleans gave $100 million fake dollars to another tight end. So, you know, if I'm Atlanta, I bring in another offensive weapon and I just try and do what I can to put enough weapons around Matt Ryan to try and go in, you know, 9, 10, 11 games now and try and sneak into the playoffs. So I think I'd go Pitts there. Not saying that Lance isn't a bad choice, but I think maybe I'm probably on an island there by myself with the three of us.
Well, I think this is just such a heavy quarterback draft with talent, a lot of talent here, that where they're sitting right now, don't know that they'll be able to get this kind of talent next year when Ryan is potentially gone. I think you got to pull the trigger on it now, as opposed to going to Pitts, who can help you incredibly, but you got to have somebody ready. And I think that's what they must do if they're thinking ahead.
Yeah, like I said, you know, if you want to win now, it's Kyle Pitts. He's the best weapon in this draft. He's probably the number two football player in this draft behind Lawrence. He can play X. Yeah. He can play tight end. He can come out of the backfield. He can be in the slot. He's too big for corners, too big for safeties, too fast for linebackers, too big and too fast for safeties. He's unguardable. He's a mismatch. But yeah, I would go Lance just because Atlanta's not. They might see themselves in win now, but they're not. They have so many holes.
I
think, like you were saying, Pops, you take the quarterback because this. If you're in this spot next year, are you going to have somebody with the potential of a Trey Lance? Who
don't think you will.
You know, he could be another Patrick Mahomes with the talent he's got. He's raw, and you can mold him to whatever you want. Yeah. So I'm at five with the Bungles debuting their new uniforms today.
I didn't see those.
Looking good. I think everybody's mind instantly goes Ja'Marr Chase because you got Joe Burrow and you got Ja'Marr Chase. You know, put those two back together, you light up the scoreboard. If you're Cincinnati, you do not let Joe Burrow talk you into taking Ja'Marr Chase.
Right.
If you're a smart person, you do not let Ja'Marr Chase even get thought of picked here. This is an easy pick. It's the best offensive tackle in the draft, Penei Sewell. You protect your investment at quarterback so he doesn't get hurt again. Sewell, freak athlete. Footwork a little to be desired, but he's still young. He's also not – he doesn't necessarily have to come in and start at tackle. You can start him at guard because of his athleticism, and that might actually help him in his career at tackle.
I believe Chris at Oregon, too, correct me if I'm wrong, he played every position on that offensive line in his career.
He did. He played every position. He also did not allow a sack the entire last year he played, which was phenomenal. The Bengals are getting the best offensive tackle prospect since Trent Williams, probably.
Maybe Trent Williams, yeah.
Yeah. So this is a no doubter. Just whatever you do, don't let Joe Burrow talk you into taking a Jamar Chase. I understand why, but you have T. Higgins, who I like a lot.
Oh yeah.
you know, I think you protect your investment, you protect your franchise, and you go Penei Sewell.
Tell Joe to look down at his legs.
Yeah.
Look at your legs. You need Joe. And tell me who you're going to draft.
You know, all that physical therapy you said sucks. Do you want to do that again? Because if not, we're going to draft this guy.
Right. We're going to draft this guy to protect you, and he will. No arguments, bud.
Boy, what do you think, Cam? This is an interesting spot here at six for the Dolphins.
Yeah, this is quite interesting.
A lot of offensive weaponry here for a team. Mm-hmm. There's nobody... I feel like there are four guys right now that would get my attention if this was the real board and I'm the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Pitts still being on the board makes my life a lot harder.
Mm-hmm.
Jamar Chase is the easy pick if Pitts goes four to Atlanta. It's Jamar Chase. You don't even think about it.
Yeah.
Me personally, I like Devontae Smith as the best wide receiver in this draft. I can't overlook what he did last year. And as a fourth, as somebody to at least entertain, would be Patrick Surtain here to bolster the defense. Now, that's just to entice. That's just to – not entice, but that's just to entertain that idea. I don't think he'd ever be picked here at six by the Dolphins. So, but that's to entertain there. I think the Miami Dolphins, with this particular board set up here at number six, is going to take – I think they're going to take tight end Kyle Pitts here from the University of Florida.
Interesting.
I think that it is the wide receiving core is the biggest need for the Dolphins right now. And it's really Pitts, Chase, or Smith, I think, can help you in any of those particular instances. But with what Kyle Pitts can be able to do, like you said, you can flex him out to a whole bunch of different positions. He's a guy you can throw anywhere on the field to screw up the secondary. If you get him on a linebacker, their linebacker's toast almost all day, right? So I think as far as weaponry goes and utility, need for utility, and Tua is going to need a blanket, a safety blanket, and there's no better safety blanket in all of sports than a tight end that can catch the ball.
Yep.
I think we're going to go Kyle Pitts here.
Yeah, the way if the draft board goes like it is, I understand Jamar Chase, he's the game-changing receiver, but Kyle Pitts is a game-changing utility knife.
Yeah.
You have Mike Gesicki, who's an up-and-coming tight end who I love. I love Mike Gesicki for them. But who's the coach? Brian Flores. It's from the New England Patriots tree. And when were they the most successful? When they had two dominant tight ends that they could put out at wide receiver, because they were both so good.
Yeah.
This if the board is like this, it's a no-brainer. You go Kyle Pitts because he can do what Jamar Chase can just as good. So
that's the first tough decision of the draft right there.
Yep. All right. So number seven, Pops, who you got? Yep, the Lions.
Number seven at the Lions. Ken, I'm sorry you lost your quarterback to us as far as us being on the Detroit general manager right now. So I've got a quarterback that I'm banking on can do something for me. I really think that a change of scenery is going to be good for him. Mm-hmm. I really do. I think this is the best thing for him. I think it's truly going to help Jared Goff a lot. But the needs that Detroit has are at wide receiver as the strongest need. And I tell you what, they haven't had somebody replace Megatron. And it's been quite some time. So I think here they've got to bat around a couple players, but I think they're going to go big and strong and fast, and they're going to go Jamar Chase with this pick. This is a Megatron pick built out of the same mold that young man was. Big, strong, great catch radius, can block, can run, can do everything. I think they're going Jamar Chase here.
Yeah, I don't doubt that at all.
If this board goes the way it does, I mean, the Lions are running to the front with their card. Just giddy.
Yeah.
Agreed.
If you look at the past couple drafts, we've been just blessed with so many great receivers, and it's going to continue that way because that's how college football is going and how the NFL is going with the pass-happy offenses. Honestly,
I would put my, you know, neck on the line and say this kid's probably the best receiver prospect in the past three drafts. That's how high I am on Ja'Marr Chase. He is a absolute animal.
He's a beast.
And he is. Like you said, Jared Goff, he's not a great quarterback. He's not a top five quarterback, but he's a, you know, seven, you know, maybe 9 to 13 quarterback. I'd throw him in there. You know, guys still do a lot of damage.
I tell you, the change of scenery is going to do this man well. I really think so.
Yep. Ken's going to hop in and agree with us and say that it was good for both teams. Stafford getting a new place to live, and you know, both quarterbacks I think are going to do well in their new spots. I can't disagree with that. I think he's right on.
Yeah, Ken, fully agree with you there. Fully agree.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of weird because our board right now has gone 1 through 7, and the top 7 prospects by TDN has gone in that order. Do I want to shake it up a little bit because it's driving me insane? Yes, but I'm not going to.
You can't.
Listen, the Panthers need an offensive tackle. There are some good offensive tackles. You know, Slater, Darisaw, Jenkins, Leatherwood, Cosme, Eichenberg, Sewell. They're all very good. I'm very high on Tevin Jenkins here. Mm-hmm. But Rashawn Slater, to me, right now, if you look at this, he's the best offensive tackle on the board. Some people have him as OT number 1 going 5 to the Bengals over Sewell. Sure. I think you have to go Slater here. He's a day one starter. You plug him in at left tackle. You try to revitalize Sam Darnold's career, actually start his career because he was playing with the Jets, so he never had one really. And you put somebody on his left side that will protect him and, you know, hopefully turn him into the quarterback you want under Rule and Brady. I think he, again, day one starter, walks right in, could have the same impact as a his name just was right in my head and I was gone. Kid for the Bucks, the rookie, Tristan Wirfs.
Wirfs.
I think he can have that sort of impact where just a dominant as a rookie.
I think Wirfs only gave up one sack all year as a rookie starter and Super Bowl winner.
Yep.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Probably an all-pro. An all-pro at right tackle this year. I think Slater, you know, like I said, there's a lot of good OTs here. I'm huge on Tevin Jenkins, but I think Rashawn Slater is OT number 2, and I think it's the perfect pick for them.
Got absolutely no argument there. None. I mean, that's good protecting Darnold. I really like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'm with you. Okay. Looks like my Denver Broncos are on the board.
What are you going to do with Denver, Cam?
Here's what I think is going to happen, Coach. I'm so glad you asked. The Denver Broncos should take a card and write Patrick Surtain 2 on it and run as fast as humanly possible to the front of the building and turn in the card.
But are they going to do it?
They will not. I believe this is the first team that buys into the hype. And I think here they need to fill that quarterback position. And I believe Mac Jones, QB from Alabama, goes to the Broncos at 9.
Now, I like this fit.
I do too.
You have a big, strong kid. Well, strong. I mean, he's strong. He's not put together. Have you seen him without a shirt? Jesus Christ. No one wants to see that again.
He looks like Tom Brady.
Title.
But look what Tom Brady's done.
But, I mean, this is good. You know, Elway gets a strong-arm quarterback that hopefully he doesn't get jealous of again and ship him off to some other team because he can't take being number 2 and in the eyes of the fans. I like this pick. This is a good pick.
I do too. I think it's an outstanding fit for a team that has that need. Maybe had some other needs, but again, you're deep, deep, deep in quarterback talent in this draft. And if you've got an early pick and you're looking years down the road, you may not have the opportunity. You do it now.
Yep. And that's why I preface by saying it should be the other guy. It will be Mac Jones.
Well, me right now, I'm Jared Jones and I'm just laughing all the way to the front with my card, because I'd have been happy with Ida getting J.C. Horn, but you know what? Patrick Surtain just fell in my lap. And God knows the Cowboys need help on corner. They did not re-sign any of their young corners. They were victimized last year with the deep pass. They were torched. They need a corner. And if Surtain is here, you take Surtain. Even though I love J.C. Horn, he's long. He's a Richard Sherman-type player. I like Horn a lot, but I think you take Patrick Surtain here if he is at left at 10 for the Cowboys.
Yep.
No, and, that's who I'm taking.
Again, you can't go wrong with either Surtain or Horn. I'm personally a little bit higher on Horn because, like you were saying, he's a big physical corner. You look at the best, you know, you look at the most influential and best corners in the league over the past 10 years. You got someone like a Richard Sherman. You got someone like an Aqib Talib. You got someone like a Jalen Ramsey. All big physical press corners. Horn is that, but I mean, Patrick Surtain, dude's a stud. Comes from the best defensive back unit in all of college. He'll, again, he's one of those that you put in there, and being a corner from, you know, the corner jump from college to the NFL is the hardest jump to make nowadays. I don't think he'll have too much of a problem with it. And yeah,
he's Dallas, Alabama DB.
Yep.
And another part of that too is not only did he come from the best defensive unit in college football, he was the class of the best defensive unit in college football.
And
you
know,
that also is something that needs to be taken into consideration.
And a lot of people forget this because it's Nick Saban. I, by trade, back when I played, I had to play two positions. I played safety and quarterback. And I coach safeties and quarterbacks. And when I go to see if there's any technique changes, anything new in the defensive backfield training world, every year I go to Nick Saban. That man can train a defensive back. And he does. He produces some wonderful athletes at that position. He's the best.
You know, I see a lot of people saying, oh, Ohio State's DBU and this and that. No, it's Alabama, and number two is LSU.
LSU.
But, I mean, Patrick Surtain, the class of all the corners, again, like I said, I'm a little bit higher on J.C. Horn just because of his build. But Surtain's a great pick, too.
Yeah.
So, 1 through 4, we had a run on quarterbacks. 9 through 11, we're just going to have a run on Alabama players. The Giants are laughing with Jalen Waddle still sitting on the board, and it's just – it's a 2-second pick. You take Jalen Waddle right away. At the start of the year, probably a wide receiver one, gets hurt, plays a little bit in the national title game while playing hurt, still does well. But Jalen Waddle, the Giants need a playmaker. If you're going to go in on Daniel Jones, this is a prove-it year. You got to prove that you are the franchise guy. And if you're going to do that, you got to give him all the weapons the weapons that he can. I know they've went out in free agency and signed a few receivers, but they're, you know, mostly to 1-year deals. Yes, they got Kenny Galladay, which is big, but what's bad about having Kenny Galladay, Jalen Waddle, and Evan Engram with a healthy Saquon Barkley behind you? That turns into a damn scary office really quick for Joe Judge and the boys over there in West, what is it?
Where Philadelphia?
No. West, no, it's not. In New Jersey, wherever they play. I forgot the stadium.
Oh, God. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
This is Jalen Waddle right away.
Yes. I love that pick. I love what Joe Judge is doing. Over on Symbol.app, which are our buddies that created a literal sports market, every team is turned into a stock and you can buy and sell them. You can make real money. Every time your team wins, you get paid a dividend payment. So go check them out over Symbol.app/shootingthesportsish or shoot sports ish. I'm sorry. Quick plug, the Giants right there are $29 a share. Coming off of a 6-10 year, I love what Judge is doing. I think that team's absolutely going to make a leap. I think the Cowboys might get left in the dust in this division next year, but that's just me. But I'm with you. I love that pick with Waddle. The Eagles, as much as the Giants are smiling, I think the Eagles are smiling ear to ear even more, knowing they're sitting at 12 and they're about to hand in a card with the Heisman Trophy winner's name on it. I think that what they will be able to provide for that offense is going to be huge. Giving somebody that Hurts can throw the ball to is going to be huge for him now that he's, you know, got the keys to the car and he's the one driving. It is Devontae Smith, and you don't even think about it if you're the Eagles.
Yeah. He's he won the Heisman Trophy.
And I think Smith is the best wide receiver in the league. Or I think Smith is the best wide receiver on the board. So for me personally, I would take Devontae Smith over everybody, including Ja'Marr Chase. And maybe Kyle Pitts.
You know, the only argument people are going to make is that he's so...
He's 170.
175. 170. Sure. But you know what? He's still a kid. He's going to grow into man muscles in the next 2-3 years. He's going to weigh 210 and be a bad pair of pajamas, just like he was in college. Well, so I have no problem with that.
And not only that, let's go take a look back at the board here. Patrick Surtain, somebody he faced every day in college. J.C. Horn, somebody he faced and actually made look stupid. But who doesn't when you're going up against Devontae Smith? It doesn't matter that he's 170. Can you press him? Can you get your hands on him? No, you can't.
Yeah.
The dude can do it all. He's his route tree. He can run every route in the route tree. You could even see him in a Deebo Samuel type role where he's taking, you know, carries or end arounds. And he's a good kid, someone you don't have to worry about with off-field issues. He loves football. He loves getting better. I think he's going to be fine.
And by the way, going to a team who's quarterbacked by somebody he used to catch passes from every day.
Yep.
That's not a bad deal.
Oh, I forgot to say it when we were talking about Mac Jones, but I'm going to say it anyway. I actually would have taken Mac – if Tua was in this draft, I would take Mac Jones over Tua.
Really?
We had talked about that.
Tua would have been the sixth quarterback taken, I think, and if he was in this draft.
No shot.
Okay. I would have Lawrence, Fields, Wilson – number five quarterback.
Really?
I would have every quarterback in this class above Tua.
Wow. They've been selected thus far.
Okay. All right.
It has to do with injury problems and his ability to take risks.
That's fair.
So, okay. But I mean, look at that. Look at that run on Alabama players right there.
Yeah. And you know how often that happens?
A lot.
Yeah. Well, now, I am the GM for the LA Chargers, and I think I'm going to pick up the phone. I'm going to call Joe Burrow and ask him, did he look down at his knees? Because I have got the hottest and best young quarterback in the NFL with Justin Herbert. So what is my first priority, even though I have other needs? Protect my franchise. Now, I've got a couple players out there, Tavon Jenkins, which I really like. I even like Alex Leatherwood a lot from Alabama, but I just can't string five Alabama players together. But that's not the reason. I think this kid, and I'm going to make my niece, who is also my goddaughter, very happy here. We're going to have a Virginia Tech player drafted in the top 15. Christian Darrisaw is a man, a road grader at offensive tackle. Yes. And I'm going to put this bad boy in front of Justin Herbert and protect him to where we can run the football with Austin Eckler, where we can throw the football, and we're going to protect Justin Herbert everywhere he goes. And I think that Darrisaw is the man to do it.
You're not going to see me complain. As much as I love Tevin Jenkins, Christian Darrisaw, 6'5", 314 pounds, an absolute unit of a human being. Again, another one of those plug-and-play tackles that you just throw in there day one and you protect the best young quarterback in the NFL, Justin Herbert, is a perfect fit. This is a match made in heaven. The only other pick that would be perfect here is if Penei Sewell somehow drops this far.
But he'll never drop this far.
And if he does, you guys are idiots because you're putting a tackle that protected a quarterback and didn't give up a sack for an entire year for him.
Now, that's not a slight to Darrisaw. This kid's not a stud. Sewell is just
I'm saying, like, perfect pick. Like, this is the perfect pick other than Penei Sewell dropping, which just I don't see happening.
Absolutely tremendous fit for these guys.
Yeah.
So, there you go, Wang. There's your Virginia Tech boy off the board at 13.
And the ACC traditionally puts out damn good offensive linemen.
Yep. Certainly do. All right, Chris, you're up with the Minnesota Vikings.
See, this is tough.
Go Vikings.
Good friend of mine. Old Jeffro, he's a big Vikings fan. I know he's going to be watching. If not, probably not. I'll probably send him this clip because I'm going to make fun of the Vikings for a little bit. They need a lot of help.
They do.
Yeah.
It's tough here because safety is a need. I love Trayvon Mowring. I think he's the best safety in the class, even over someone like a Javon Holland, who, if he played this year, probably would have been, you know, safety number one, but he opted out. But they just need a lot of help all over the place. I think you wait on safety, and I think you go Elijah Vera Tucker here to help that offensive line. You're playing in a bruising division. You got to be able to run the ball when it gets cold. Yeah, you're playing in a dome, but you're playing against other teams where they're outside and it gets cold. Vera Tucker's a monster, someone who you can
you know, put on your line and run right behind. He's also very good at pass blocking, very athletic, get out and lead the lead blocks. I think this is a perfect pick for him. You know, I think you go here, you wait on secondary help, and you go with Elijah Vera Tucker here.
Well, I see your rationale. I really do. I mean, I think in the grand scheme of things, an offensive tackle is more of a need than a safety, because you safeties you can find down the road. A high quality offensive tackle that's plug and play for your next 15 years is not something you can walk by.
Well, I mean, Vera Tucker, he's going to be starting at left guard probably for them day one.
But so. He can play tackle. He can play center.
He's got versatility a lot. I mean, you look at all the offensive tackles we've taken, they have versatility. The only thing that will keep them from not playing certain positions is their sheer size and how good they are at the other positions. But yeah, Vera Tucker right here, he's a damn good player, and I think it's a perfect pick for the Vikings.
You really didn't bash the Vikings there too much. I don't think Jeff Rose will be too mad.
I said they sucked and they need a lot of help. It's okay. Seattle sucks too, so.
Yeah, what are we going to do, huh? All right, buddy. Very
interesting here, what's going on.
What?
Well, I'm standing here. I think Cam's
perplexed.
I am, because I'm standing here with the Patriots at 15.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, I am I'm stalling, if you can't tell.
Yes,
you are. Yes, you are.
Sorry, I backed out of my draft thing and lost all 14 of the first round of the first picks. So I had to go back in, reinsert them, and then get there.
Gotcha.
Here's the thing. The Patriots are in a little bit of disarray here. I don't think that's out of pocket to say.
Yeah.
There's a lot of help that they're going to need. And unfortunately, they only get one pick every round. Well, at least, you know, normally. And they don't get 15. Now, if the Patriots had 15 picks in the first round, I think we'd be okay.
Mm-hmm.
The division that they're in is becoming a very offensive division with what Buffalo's going to produce and good Lord, what Miami is on the verge of doing.
Yep. And then there's the Jets.
And then there's the Jets who are on the verge of figuring something out 3 years down the road. So like they're going to take a little bit of time, but you know, they're coming. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you can walk by J.C. Horn here. I mean, they need a linebacker. Mm-hmm. You know, they need some edge help. But if you don't have anybody that can cover, and they got burnt to a crisp last year, I don't know how you don't go J.C. Horn there, get the second best, arguably first best corner in the draft, and start building your defense and just hope that Cam Newton can become some version of his MVP self again. But I mean, this has to start on the defensive side of the ball for them in their rebuild, right? Now, we all know effectively that he's going to trade down to like 27 and miss everybody because that's what Belichick does. But if he's going to pick at 15, it's got to be Horn if he's still on the board.
Yeah, if J.C. Horn's here, you have to take him. It's a hell of a 1-2 with Stephon Gilmore and J.C. Horn outside on the, you know, bracketing your defense. That's insane 1-2.
Yeah.
If he's sitting here at this point, I don't think J.C. Horn will be here at this point, but if he is, you take him. This is the landing spot, I think, for Mac Jones here. He just fits that Patriots style of player.
Yeah.
I can't put my finger on it why, but I think he does. I do think you'll see a better Cam Newton this year. Because you got to remember that the Patriots team sucks, but their good players they did have were sitting out last year.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to be better this year. And I you can't bet against Belichick for having two terrible years.
Yeah.
So I think they'll be better this year. And if J.C. Horn is sitting there at 15, I think you're stupid if you don't take him.
Right?
I do too. J.C. Horn walk by that just can't happen here.
Yeah.
You cannot go by him, no matter what your need is. This is one of the places where best available, which is not often done. Yep. It's majority need. Best available, you can't walk by J.C. Horn.
No, you can't. Yeah.
Because if you had a, I would have got him with the Cardinals. But this could be the first big reach in the draft. Because I really think with Cliff Kingsbury at the head coach, with Kyler Murray at quarterback, I think Kingsbury wants something more for Kyler Murray to play with. I think he wants an outstanding tight end. But you know what? When you look at the tight end position and after Pitts is off the board, I don't go with a number 16 pick for a tight end here. I just can't do it because Pitts is gone. Now, if Pitts was here, I would have been thanking God because that would have been the luckiest draft board ever for me to have Kyle Pitts drop to me at 16. Sure. But now I've got to do what's best for me and my needs at this time because the tight end's not available for me. I really think that is what they may have done because my second need is cornerback. So I got some good picks here, and I – you know what? It's between Farley and Newsom here. I like Caleb Farley out of Virginia Tech. I really do. Newsom at Northwestern is good. He's solid.
Real good. He's real good.
Yeah. And you know what? Fitzgerald is a hell of a coach. And he doesn't give you sloppy players. So if I'm the Cardinals here and Kyle Pitts is not available to me, and the board is as it is, I'm going to pick Greg Newsom the second out of Northwestern as my corner.
Very good pick. That's a perfect pick, I think.
That's a great pick. Ken brings up a good point. The Cardinals could always trade down. They definitely could. So for anybody just joining us or watching this, we're operating in this mock draft as though there are no trades that haven't already currently happened.
Yeah.
But mostly, yes, the Cards absolutely could trade down. The Patriots will probably trade down because that's what they do. Yeah.
And mostly I'm a cheap ass and I don't want to pay for premium.
Sure.
Sue me.
Yeah.
All right. So that leaves me at 17 with the Raiders.
The Raiders.
So that means I'm obviously making an Al Davis pick and taking Kadarius Toney. No. I would if they actually needed receiver help here. That's
or Darius Hayward Bay.
Yeah. The Raiders are making the right moves. When Gruden came in, people said, what is he doing? He's blowing the team up. And that's exactly what he should have done. The Raiders are in a bad spot. They still are, but they're getting better every year, which is something you want to see. I still think quarterback is an issue. I like Derek Carr. I do.
I like him a lot.
I don't think he's the quarterback that takes you to the Super Bowl where you want to go. Before all the stuff off field was going on, I thought Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson here to a trade in the Raiders would be perfect. But there's no quarterbacks right now that you reach for. They need a lot of help. They need a lot of help at linebacker. They need an offensive tackle. Part of me wants to take Micah Parsons, but I don't think he's a good scheme fit for them. So I'm going to take probably the most violent man in this entire draft. I'm just going to take Tevin Jenkins here. He is a mauler on the offensive line.
He is that.
315. He played in the Big 12. If you haven't seen some of his tape, go watch it because he's driving people into the sidelines, pancakes on every level of the field, leading block, and he's a monster. And I think you take him and, you know, you give Derek Carr some more protection. Obviously, they need more help everywhere, but with this pick, if Tevin Jenkins is sitting there, you take him.
Listen, I can't be mad at that. That's a really good pick, especially for Oakland. Chris, something you'll be interested in the comments. Ken, how about a trade for that BVB jersey? Showing some love to old Dortmund over there in your jersey that you're rocking today.
They are my German team, and they are my favorite team. Has pissed me off so much that I just will not be wearing their jersey for a little bit.
Yes,
thanks Glazers.
Thanks Glazers. Oh,
they're ridiculous. And now they've got another reason to pander because now they got a Super Bowl champion football team making them money. So
absolutely,
now they can draw it out of them for a while.
Yep.
This is a really interesting spot for me here with 18 with the Dolphins coming back up again. Mm-hmm. Because we addressed a big need we got Kyle Pitts.
That right? was huge.
So as a GM, I'm killing it already. Yeah. I'm playing with house money here. I'm moving. I'm wheeling and dealing.
But you can't flounder on two top 18 picks.
You can't do that. And I'm with you. I'm tracking. Here are the two that I'm down to. Okay. And then we'll just talk our way through this. Najee Harris has always come up for the Dolphins at 18, who I think would be a good pick. Yep. Now, if we're worried about taking running backs high, because that seems to be a theme in the world of football lately.
I'm not.
It is very hard for me to look past Jalen Phillips right now.
Mm-hmm.
It is very hard for me to look past Jalen Phillips. I understand that probably the weakest individual spot for the Dolphins last year on the offensive side was running back. Even with a guy like Gaskins, it never felt like they had that one guy that they could just go to every time he picks up without, you know what I mean? It didn't feel like they had the dude there in the running back for them. And I feel like Tua needs that. So I'm going to do it, even though I kind of think I shouldn't. I'm going to do it. We're going to reunite Tua, and we're taking running back Alabama, Najee Harris here at 18.
Not mad at that pick at all.
Having said that, the fact that Jalen Phillips is still on the board right now is astounding to me.
Well, you look at the board. We are on pick 19, and not one edge rusher has been taken.
Right, which means we're wrong already.
Way wrong.
We're way wrong.
Although, it's that type of draft this year where there's so many standout players and there's so many teams that need a receiver, quarterback, corner, offensive tackle. So,
yep. I'm with you.
Well, I think
this personally, Pops, I'm going to say this before you make your pick. I think there's a perfect pick here and it's pretty easy.
Well, I'm long-term because that's where I grew up. That was my team before Seattle. Yep. I grew up in Washington. I can't say football team because it angers me. And I see something in a little historical perspective here that I think is a perfect fit. Do we need a lineman? Yes, we do. But I see a kid here who reminds me, not as big, not as ferocious, but in the same mold from the same school, plays ball the same way.
Yes.
A linebacker out of Penn State.
Yes.
I think it's got to be Micah Parsons here from the Washington football
team. Yes.
That's the one.
This is the perfect pick. They're saying there's off-field issues. Does he really love football? That's BS to me. You have one of the best front sevens in the NFL already. That is one of the most athletic front sevens already. And then you can draft Micah Parsons and just go.
Run free.
Chase the ball. Get me the ball, Danny.
Go get the ball, Danny. Get me the ball.
This is a perfect fit for Micah Parsons, too. He's going there with Ron Rivera, someone who has taken care of players that have had some sort of off-the-field issues, desire to play football. I hate the desire to play football. Does he really want to be great? I hate that from, these experts in the field. I think it's
who've never stepped on the field.
They've never stepped on the field, and they don't know the kid. I think this is a perfect fit for Micah Parsons.
It's a LeVar Arrington throwback.
It is 100% a LeVar Arrington throwback. He does – is he a Mike linebacker right away? Probably not. But I think in a defense like Washington, you can throw him in the mic and say, just be a tackling machine. We'll work on coverage. We'll work on everything else as it comes. Jesus Christ, if they get Micah Parsons, that front seven is that much more scary. And Dallas is that much further behind Washington football team.
This is the best team in the division right now drafting Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
That's what this is. Would be if it was real life.
And it also gives a vote of confidence to my boy Taylor Heinicke by not jumping on the bandwagon and trying to get a quarterback here. I've got faith in that kid. I'm going to give him a shot. And I'm going to take Micah.
Yep. Washington has faith in him. And the best way to win, especially in that division, is have a stud standout defense. You already have the best front seven in football. Your secondary is getting there. It's getting better. and just adding Micah Parsons, you have you'll have the freakiest defensive end prospect ever in Chase Young, and then an insane athlete screaming down the gaps right behind him on blitzes and everything. Jesus, this is a perfect pick. I'm so glad you went there.
Well, thanks. I'm glad, because it just, as soon as I saw my need as the team, and I say Washington, my need, as soon as I saw that, and I, Penn State linebacker, Micah, my needs, it was a no-brainer to make that front seven that much more devastating, because you win with defense. You win with defense because your defense travels, your offense may not. Look at what Tampa Bay did. Did Tampa Bay win with defense in the Super Bowl? I certainly believe they did.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. That is very true. I'm just looking up something really quick. I want to see. Ah, they do. Damn. I was seeing if Washington had a number 56 on their roster, and they do. Reuben Foster's wearing 56. I was going to say, give him LeVar Arrington's number.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
But, it's getting kind of stupid at this point that he's still sitting here, even though the
team doesn't necessarily need it.
I'm taking Jalen Phillips for the Bears.
I hate you for that so much. God, I hate you for that.
He's the number one edge guy. This is the 20th pick, and there hasn't been an edge going. They don't necessarily need him, but they need an edge. They need an edge player. Having him on one side and having Khalil Mack on the other is just disgusting to think about. I understand they need a quarterback. The red rifle, or what were the BB guns called?
They're red rifle.
Yeah, a red rifle. He's more like a red Nerf gun at this point.
Daisy BB.
They need a lot of help, but if Jalen Phillips is sitting at 20 and you're Chicago again, in a division that defense wins you games, and Jalen Phillips is sitting there, you take him and you don't think twice about
it. Nope. All right. Well, that is the Colts up on the clock here. I think the fact that, and again, this is a how did we get here moment. If it wasn't Jalen Phillips, it's going to be this guy. These two arguably go back and forth as the 1-2 edge guys in a lot of these mock drafts. University of Georgia, we're going to Azeez Ojulari.
Yeah, big Zeez.
Wow. I mean, he's considered by a lot of mocks to be edge number one, even over a guy like Jalen. They kind of go back and forth. It's just pretty much given the day.
Yeah.
A guy like Azeez can do a lot for the Colts, again, in that division. You're going to have to deal with, you're going to have to deal with Derrick Henry. You're going to have to deal with whatever that crap show in Houston is. And then you're going to have to deal with the Jacksonville Jaguars and that offense that they're trying to put together. A guy like Azeez can step in day one and be a starter for the Colts and make that defense even better.
Yeah, I like Azeez. I'm really high on Quiddy Pay, so I probably would have taken Pay.
Yeah, it was between Quiddy and Azeez for me.
Either way, it's going to be an edge.
I went Azeez for kind of, I guess, just really more body of work and where he came from. Really, that's what it came down to.
We're 21 picks deep in this draft, and we haven't had a huge descent of a pick yet. Yeah. Really haven't.
Which, again, is another reason that we're doing this wrong.
And people look at this and go, what are these idiots talking about? They know nothing. You might be right. But, again, like I said, this draft is so – these teams need quarterbacks. These teams need a game changer. These teams need a tackle because they have a franchise quarterback who keeps getting hurt, or is a young quarterback and they have a hole there. These teams need a corner because their secondary sucks. These teams can draft whatever the hell they want because they're really good all over the place.
Right.
Yeah. There's not it's not that hard of a draft this year to read.
You know, it's trying to have an idea with everybody. How would you like to be the Cleveland Browns? You got everything. So you pick best available. You take what you got. That roster is loaded with talent.
Yeah.
Yes,
it is. Loaded. So now I'm up with the Tennessee Titans, and my priority is twofold. I've got to get – even though I need a corner. But I need to take some heat off Derrick Henry, and I need to give Tannehill somebody to throw to. So I am going to go Rashad Bateman out of Minnesota here to give him somebody to throw to take some of that heat off of Henry, so Henry is not keyed on every single play, even though the man's going to run for 215 yards a game. Nonetheless, I want to take some of that beating off him. by getting a big physical receiver out of Minnesota. Bateman can do the job for them.
Can't be mad at that. That's a great pick there.
And somebody who blew the roof off of any physical test he had at his pro day. Jesus Christ. This man was built in the lab. I love this pick. However, I would have gone with another receiver here. I would have gone with the man at Ole Miss, Elijah Moore. You have A.J. Brown on one side. You bring in another Ole Miss receiver built up the same mold. Athletic freak. Not as big, 5'9", but is a stud. A receiver I think should be getting more talked about. There's like seven of them that are 7 to 11 receivers that you can go. They're first-round receiver. I would have gone Moore because I think that, you know, having the two Ole Miss guys, you can have A.J. Brown mentor.
Yeah, that makes good sense.
But Bateman here, again, he blew everything out of the water when it came to his pro day. You got to go Rashad Bateman. He has the potential to be a bigger.
You know, I look at him like he's not, I don't think he will be, but from a specimen standpoint, another DK Metcalf who was a steal last year.
Yeah, I think to think he's a bigger Tyreek Hill, like with his athleticism and what he can do. He's a stud. And I think Vrabel would have a field day with having A.J. Brown and Rashad Bateman and the defensive end that's playing running back for them, who is somehow bigger now than he's ever been, but I've seen his offseason workouts and it doesn't surprise me.
Nope.
Okay. Nope. So that leaves me with the Jets again.
J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Again, need a lot of help. Saleh is a defensive guy. And my only thing is, do the Jets take a corner or an edge here? I like Caleb Farley. He is coming off an injury where they're, you know, doctors are giving like an 80-20 of if he's going to need another surgery, 20% saying yes, 80% saying no. I'm a big Caleb Farley fan. Also, Quiddy Pay sitting here. I mean, Michigan D lineman, just stud. JOK, Owusu-Koramoah, he's here too.
He's a stud. I love this kid.
I think they don't go with Owusu-Koramoah. I think they go the edge. I think they go Quiddy Pay. He's Michigan defensive lineman and offensive lineman at Michigan are insane. I think we're all agree with that. But they've put out some very good D linemen over the years. Mm-hmm. I think Quiddy Pay has what it's all said and done, we'll be saying was the best end in this draft. And that's even ahead of Jalen Phillips and Azeez. When his career is all said and done, I think you'll say he's one of the best D ends in the league fairly soon here.
So you're taking him for the J-E-T-S, Jets, 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 buddy.
So I'm gonna give Saleh a defensive linchpin on that line.
Hey, that's a strong pick. Didn't they just trade away Sheldon Richardson?
No, he left a number of years ago.
He left a number of years ago, yeah. But they have been slowly festering in defense. They have been falling apart, and they need somebody to get that defense back online. I think this is a solid pick here, really solid.
Yeah.
Completely agree. The Steelers are on the clock here.
The most overrated 11-0 team ever.
Yes.
100%. I was talking earlier about this, and if there was one team that I could see that could mirror their record from last year, it's the Steelers. Mm-hmm. I absolutely see a world where the Steelers go 5-12 next year. Because of what they've lost, they're down
certainly.
To.
Yeah,
I mean,
certainly.
I could 100% see it.
I mean, you're losing a starting left tackle. You're losing a Hall of Fame center. You're losing a serviceable running back. You still have Juju, which makes you worse.
And that's just on the offensive side.
Yeah.
We haven't even gotten to what they lost on the defensive side of the ball yet.
Yeah.
But again, over on Symbol, the Steelers are trading like $28 a share, which is mind-boggling for me. I still think they're overvalued. I still think they're overvalued at 28.
Yeah.
So that's pretty crazy. However, having said that, the fact that Owusu is still on the board, I don't know if you even think about it.
No.
I think you just take Owusu and you move right along with your day because I think that's exactly what they need.
I love Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah here. I see that same, you know, he's going to be an every down backer.
Yeah.
He's going to be an every down backer. I think he's going to, and when you think about the Pittsburgh Steelers, you think about their defense, you think about linebackers, I think this is a perfect pick for mm-hmm. them here. I mean, if you know, if you want to get a little crazy, maybe have them taking a quarterback. I don't know. But I you know, that Jalen Smith type linebacker from, you know, from the same school, Notre Dame, coming out, good athlete, can do it all over the field. This is a perfect pick for the Steelers.
Yep.
Traditionally, yeah. And I don't see how they could walk by that kid right there. And me coming up next at the Jaguars, you know, I would have loved to have had him.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm also salivating at the kid who sits right behind him, who's hungry and from Tulsa, and I want him so bad, but I've got to restrain myself. I've got to restrain myself.
No.
Because I want but I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it, even though my need says, go get Zaven Collins. Go get him. Take him. He's what you need. He's what you want. But I got to protect Trevor Lawrence. I have got to take care of him. He is my future. And I've got three or four great tackles sitting here right now. Leatherwood, I really, really like. Size, hands, terrific. A little questionable on the feet.
Mm-hmm.
Cosme out of Texas. Solid.
Love Sam
Cosme. I love Liam Eichenberg mm-hmm. and Dylan Randuz. I like them both a lot.
Ray Dunes is one of those guys who don't be surprised if he flies up the draft board quickly as like the first QT taken.
Yep. I'm torn as to who to pick, but I know I'm going to pick one of these Notre Dame offensive linemen, tough, big, strong, well-trained. I'm going to stretch over the ratings that show Leatherwood and Cosme, rated ahead of him, and I am going to take Liam Eichenberg, the tackle out of Notre Dame here.
I mean, I don't think anybody will be mad at that pick. He's a Notre Dame offensive lineman. That's all you really need to know.
Yeah. What?
Big ass dude too, 6'6", 305. Really big.
And can move. The man can move. He's got great feet, great hands. He's, you know.
And he fits that
And he came from a rush heavy offense.
And he fits that Urban Meyer type mold, I think.
Exactly. And that's one of the big things. You're putting a Notre Dame kid with a taskmaster at coach. I mean, notorious taskmaster mm-hmm. at coach. And that's what you get with a Notre Dame player, is a kid who doesn't give any crap, works his behind off, and excels.
Yeah.
And are smart.
Yeah.
I need a smart player on the offensive line. A lot of people, I think that has long been dispelled a long, long time ago, that your dumb guys play up front. Not so.
Yeah.
Not so. When I was a kid, that's what it was. Dumb guys play offensive line. Negative. Nope. Negative.
Not anymore. So that leaves me sitting in one of the more favorable positions in this draft with the Cleveland Browns.
A highly talented team.
A team that is stacked.
I know who I take here.
And they have Myles Garrett on one side now. They just got out and went Jadeveon Clowney on the other side.
So good.
It's tough who to go to. This draft is not big on D tackles.
No.
They're not. It's not there's like two or three guys that you look at and go, okay, they'll be a game changer. Could they go receiver? Are they going to move Odell? I think it'd be stupid to move Odell because when he's healthy, he's still a top three receiver in the game.
Sure.
You have, you know, you still have Jarvis Landry. You don't need running back help. That's for damn sure.
No.
You really don't need offensive line help anymore. I think it's a pretty simple pick. I think you go Christian Barmore out of Alabama.
I think it's a great fit, Chris.
I think it's a perfect pick here. This kid right in the middle and have Clowney and Garrett flying off the edges. Now, Barmore isn't the best pass rushing D tackle by any means, but the dude can eat up space. He can stop the run exceptionally well. And like I just said, Clowney on one side, Garrett on the other, rushing, you're going to have quarterback stepping up in the pocket. This big dude is going to bear hug a lot of QBs and get a lot of sacks because of those two men shooting off the edge.
Indeed. He's got good push up the middle.
I think Barmore is the hands down best defensive tackle in this draft. He probably wouldn't take any other D tackle in the first round, which is something crazy.
Don't be surprised if he's traded up for. That's how good he is.
You can see a team that is a, you know, a D-line piece away from making a Super Bowl run, trade up and taking him. But with how weak the class is, you know, it's not many teams need a D-tackle, but it's one of those guys where, hey, if I need a D-tackle to win my division, I'm doing it. Far more easy pick here. Again, another Alabama player. I will take Alabama and Clemson players all day because of the lineage that they've put out in the league over the past couple of years. I think he's going to be a game changer for the Cleveland Browns.
I can't believe Zaven Collins is still sitting on this board.
Me either.
If I'm the Ravens, right? That's the actual phrase that comes out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that it?
Yeah.
And that's one of their needs further down the line, but can you walk by this man here?
They need help at wide receiver. So a guy like Elijah Moore standing there staring at you is needed. But I mean, in this division, if you can't cover anybody, you're gonna be in a tough situation. And I can't walk by Zaven Collins. I can't do it. If I'm the Ravens, you can't. You were a team that was known for your linebacking play and for your defensive play. And you have to get back to that. Yeah. To get back to when you knew how to win. So the fact that Zaven Collins is still sitting there, welcome home. Welcome to a linebacker lineage.
And if you allow me to get a little rant here.
Go.
Any of you idiots, and that's what I'm going to call you because this is what it is for.
Whoa.
Who are going to come at me and say, Lamar Jackson is a running back playing quarterback. Please see yourself out. I hate this. It's a lazy argument. People forget how freaking good this guy was.
He's very good.
Last year.
Yeah. Still is.
As well as his MVP year the year before. He is a stud. He makes throws. Just because he can run for 1,000 yards and make everybody look stupid doesn't make he's not a good quarterback. The dude makes throws when they count. He puts them on target. He led the league in passing touchdowns his MVP year. Now, people forget, he lost Marshall Yanda. That is a huge loss.
He doesn't have
a receiver that can create his own separation. I love Hollywood Brown, but they do not have a big play receiver.
No.
If I'm sitting here and Zaven Collins is there, I take him. If Zaven Collins is not, I take Terrence Marshall here. You get a big physical receiver, somebody who can stretch the field for Lamar and make Lamar respected as he deserves to be in some of these idiots' minds saying he's not a good quarterback.
Lamar Jackson is the quarterback that Michael Vick wanted to be.
Yeah.
So there we go.
He is a top five quarterback in the league, and you can't change my mind.
Sure.
So. All right, Pops. The New Orleans Saints.
All right. Interesting quandary here. I got a lot of needs as Saints coach. I've got a lot of needs. There are things that I need, but a lot of people think I'm set at quarterback, and I'm not. I've got Jameis Winston.
You paid $100 million fake dollars to a tight end.
Yeah, $100 million fake dollars to a tight end. I need corners. I need a receiver. I need a linebacker. I need a safety. I need an edge rusher. I need a lineman. But you know what? I need a quarterback. And I got two kids that I think are absolute steals right here. If I can sneak up and grab one of them. And I think there's two I've got my eye on right now. Kyle Trask and Kellen Mond. Mm-hmm. And then I look at the coach. And I say, Sean, who's your fit? And I think he takes Kellen Mond. Right here as a quarterback of the future. Even though I love Kyle Trask, I think Kellen Mond is more out of the mold that he wants to run that offense. So I'd say the Saints reach here. It's not a reach. They actually – let me go back. I just hit the wrong guy. I hit Kyle. I got to draft Kellen there. There we go. Oh, shoot, Ski. How do I fix that?
You're good. You're all right. Just let it ride.
Yeah. Just let it ride.
I can't because I just hit Kellen Mond for Green Bay. But Kellen Mond at New Orleans.
I like this pick a lot. Personally,
Yeah.
I was going to end the draft by saying, if you're the Houston Texans, you trade up to 31 or 32 and you take Kellen Mond because you have AJ McCarron right now. I love Kellen Mond. I would have taken Kyle Trask if I were the Saints. I think he's a better fit because he's the you know, the smaller stature, kind of cut out of the same Drew Brees mold. But I like Kellen Mond. So
for me, this is interesting because this kind of brings a lot of things into play that I have for the quarterback room here for this draft. I am irrationally high on Kyle Trask. Like, I think Kyle Trask is the third best quarterback in this draft. And I believe that Kellen Mond and Trey Lance are the easiest automatic busts of this class. I think, like, if I was gonna say you have two people to pick who are gonna be a busts, I think it's Trey Lance and Kellen Mond get picked by a majority. I really like Kyle Trask here. I would love for the Saints to pick Trask. I think he fits what they're trying to do better.
I you know, it's funny when you're talking about Sean Payton. I think if they do a quarterback here, whether it be Kellen Mond or Kyle Trask, I don't think either of them will be busts because they're going into a great fit with one of the best coaches in the NFL. The sure. Probably, in my opinion, the best coach in the NFL, in Sean Payton. I think if he gets either of these guys, he's going to mold them and he's going to slowly nurture them into being someone like a Drew Brees.
Mm-hmm.
And it also helps to go to an offense where you have Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara.
Alvin Kamara behind you.
Alvin Kamara alone. I would rather have Alvin Kamara over Michael Thomas. Sue me, but I would.
Yes. No, I'm with you.
But I like this. You went out of the box. I like
it. Yeah. Well done. I had to. Well done. I really think that moving down the line, that's what's addressed. You've been too comfortable having Drew Brees and that security all these years. Right now, it's a volatile position. I don't think you've got anybody you can rely on right there. Jameis Winston. He's a 30-30 man. Not the good kind. This isn't baseball.
Yeah.
I love Jameis Winston. I love his athleticism, but he tends to make foolish decisions, and I don't like that. So I think Kellen Mond being that Jimbo Fisher trained quarterback, Jimbo is the quarterback whisperer in college. I think you get Kellen Mond here for him, which I think Sean Payton really likes this guy for this time.
Yeah, like I said, if you're, you know, I would have had – and, you know, a couple of my mocks, either if you're Houston, you try to trade up to get that fifth year of, you know, stability with him. I think he's a good fit for Houston with what's going on with Deshaun Watson. He's probably not going to play. Can't really play. You have AJ McCarron. I like AJ. I think he's a nice guy. I think he was a decent quarterback in college. I think he could be a decent quarterback in the pros, but I thought, you know, you keep the Texas kid in Texas. You put Kellen Mond, an athlete who can take a beating, into a team that's going to be allowing him to take a beating because Houston's in a bad spot. Just let the athlete make plays like he did in college. I like Kellen Mond. I think his Senior Bowl film helped him out tremendously. I think he was the biggest riser from the Senior Bowl. I like that pick. I do.
Mm-hmm.
So now I get the Green Bay Packers, and of course, Green Bay never does anything right, so I'm going to have them take Akil Glass, out of Alabama, quarterback out of Alabama A&M.
Oh, my gosh.
If we learned anything from the playoffs, it's that Green Bay is not as good as they think they are. And Green Bay is in an awkward situation right now because I don't think Aaron Rodgers is quarterback in Green Bay this time next year. I think Aaron Rodgers is gone.
Yeah.
I don't think they take a quarterback.
No.
I don't think they take a quarterback. I don't think they take a weapon for Aaron. They need a big physical corner. They need a corner because Mike Evans was the biggest game changer in that game. And he didn't catch many balls, but he was drawing pass interferences.
Yep.
I think this is the range where you take a Caleb Farley. I think you add him to your secondary with Jair.
He's tough. Two
very good corners. I think with the injury, there are the injury concerns if he's going to need another surgery and if it could be a fusion, whether or not. It doesn't matter. At this point, you go, he's the best corner on the board and probably the fourth best corner in this draft, and we're sitting here at 29 and got him. I think it's a good fit for him. I think you pair him and Jair Alexander up. It's good. I think he comes in and plays. I don't think he's going to need an additional surgery, but I'm not a doctor. I think it's going to be fine. So I think you go Caleb Farley. And Virginia Tech cornerbacks, normally good.
Normally good. Yeah. Yeah. Normally that's good. Two Virginia Tech picks in the first round here.
Yep.
I've got the Bills Mafia.
Speaking of talented teams.
Boy, howdy. You're not
boy
getting
howdy. It.
A little
got
bit
some
of
talent
help,
on
I
that
think,
roster.
Yes, they do. A little bit of help, I think, is going to be needed towards the defensive side of the football here for Buffalo. Mm-hmm. They want to really bolster that up and bring a little bit more depth there so they can make that deep playoff run that they're hoping for and not have it end against the Chiefs the way it did last year. And I think with that just comes need of depth and need of talented players. I'm going to follow positionally the Green Bay Packers, and I'm going to go to Eric Stokes out of Georgia, and we're going to take a nice push and shove cornerback out of Georgia that'll be able to hopefully get up in some people's faces, can cover out in space, can make the tackles when necessary. You bring him into the box, he can get to the quarterback. He's got some speed out there. And I think he's going to do a lot for the Bills as far as just bringing depth to that secondary, which is what they're going to need, you know, to make that next big jump that they're going to want to take.
Like that. I like that pick a lot. Good slot corner for him.
And with that, that is my last pick of this draft.
There you go. All right, Pops, you got the Chiefs.
Who'd you pick, Cam?
Eric Stokes.
Because I screwed mine up here with my two picks. I messed it up. So you took Stokes.
Yep.
There he is. Okay. Got him. All right. I got the Chiefs, the Kansas City Chiefs. Again, they have a glaring need. And it's on the offensive line. You've got to protect your franchise. And if you don't, you're crazy. So, again, I got another team who needs another offensive lineman to protect probably a once-in-a-generation quarterback.
Best quarterback in the league.
Yeah. So, again, I'm sitting here, and I'm fortunate enough that we've moved spaces already, and the four linemen I loved, I got one of them in my last draft with my last team, and those three are still here. Yep. I've got Alex Leatherwood, Cosme, and Randoons. And guess what? I'm going with the North Dakota State boy here. I'm going to take Randoons right here with this pick, the Kansas City Chiefs, to protect my quarterback at the tackle position.
I think it's a perfect pick. Big road grader, 6'5 and a half, 304. I think that's a perfect pick for them. I think this kid has a lot of upside.
He really does. You look at his film at North Dakota State, he jumps off the screen. Yeah. He dominates players. And these kids play the best all the time. They come down, they go up, rather, and play Division I teams and beat them regularly every year.
Yep. And I think this might be the first time ever there'd be two North Dakota State guys drafted in the first round.
I believe it would be.
Nice.
But they're both worthy of it, so.
Certainly. Yeah.
There you go.
So now I get the incredible job at picking for the Bucks, a team that needs nothing, has brought back all 22 starters from their Super Bowl winning team, a team that literally can do whatever they want at this pick. A plethora of directions. But I have an idea in mind. And it's a pretty easy idea when you think about it. When you look at the Bucks team, they're stacked everywhere. There's one area that I think they could improve on.
They're aging in a spot.
Player is sitting there at 32. Again, this is an Antoine Winfield type player where you go, Jesus Christ, how is he still sitting here?
Yep.
It's Trayvon Mowring. I think you take Trayvon Mowring here, the safety out of TCU, the best safety in the draft, because right now, yes, you have Antoine Winfield Jr. at strong safety, but at free safety, you have Jordan Whitehead. I like Jordan Whitehead. I think he's a good player, but Trayvon Mowring is the best safety in this class.
Chris, do you know how bad that hurt me as the Kansas City Chiefs having to walk by him because I have to protect my quarterback? I wanted this kid some kind of fierce, but I had to protect Mahomes.
And if Trayvon Mowring and if the Bucks can go two straight years and say, you know what, we got the best safeties in two straight drafts, mm-hmm. and you'll have a one of the best young strong safeties and one of the best young free safeties in the league over top that already incredible defense.
Strong up the middle, baby.
I mean, Jesus, this is a repeat for the Bucs. I already think it's going to be a repeat for the Bucs, but if they could have someone like Trayvon Mowering at the back end, you do it. Again, you could go a plethora of different ways. You could go a gadget player like a Kadarius Toney, who just add him to the receiving core because you haven't brought Antonio Brown back. You throw him in the slot. I love me some Scotty Miller, but
sure,
Kadarius Toney's just a freak athlete. But I think if Mowering is sitting there,
at I don't think he walked by.
You can't. I mean, he's the best safety. You put him at free safety. You have Mowering and Winfield be your back end of your defense for the next 7 years.
Yep. Yeah, this is a good one, guys. We we got it finished.
Yep.
I think some interesting things happened. I think the best safety in the league fell to 32, or the best safety in college football.
Yeah.
Somehow almost didn't make it out of the first round.
Yeah. It was hard not to pick him. Hard not to pick him for the Kellen
Mond. I think that's a big thing. I think after Mac Jones, it's going to be very interesting who the next quarterback off the board is.
I think it will be Kyle Trask.
The Saints took Kellen Mond. I think it'll be Trask too. Here's the thing. I know that depth is key and depth helps. Would we be shocked if the Bucs took Kyle Trask at 32 to sit behind Brady for a year and take over?
Not at all. I think it'd be a solid pick.
Take a Florida kid, put him in. You keep him in Florida, let him learn behind the GOAT for a year and be under Bruce Arians.
Arians a hell of a quarterback coach. And
Leftwich.
Did Arians play quarterback in college?
Sure did.
He threw the longest touchdown pass in Virginia Tech history, I believe.
I believe he still has
the record. And it was to the other team. No, I'm just kidding.
It was. Yeah.
No.
Mowering, I don't know how he lasted that long, but need took priority.
And I think, there's a bunch of teams who, like we were talking about, can take BPA. And if Trayvon Mowering is there, they take him. I can see Mowering going anywhere from 12 to 32, but I think he'll be in that 12 to 17 range. I think a team will take him there.
Yeah.
If New Orleans, and I would really, if Mac Jones gets overlooked, I think if he is available, I think Jones is a perfect pick right there for the New Orleans Saints.
So who gets the Aaron Rodgers treatment this year?
Who free falls? I think the person that will get him if they don't go our way is Micah Parsons. I think you're going to have idiots who are going to be believing the off-field issues. Does he love football? I think he'd be the one that might fall to the mid-second round because of that. I think it's stupid. Yeah. I think if Washington's sitting there, I think it's a match made in heaven for Washington. I think it's a match made in heaven for a lot of teams. But who could I see falling more so than Parsons?
I don't know. I think the only surprise as far as falling, and it wasn't falling, it was only because of need, was Mowering being so low in the first round.
Yeah.
As the best safety in college football.
I will say this. We had one running back go in the first round.
Yeah, I love that's gonna not happen.
But I think Travis Etienne is just as good, especially with the modern day NFL where we're being able to catch out of the backfield. If anybody falls and you're like, why isn't anybody taking him? I think it'll be Etienne. Although I think Etienne could be a pick 33, 34, 35.
That's exactly where he's going to fall.
So
I think probably one of the tackles that got taken may take a dive too. Like a,
I could see it being Penei Sewell.
I don't think Sewell. I think more like an Eichenberg that went at 25 for us. I could see him falling out of the first round.
I think Leatherwood is the natural one who falls out because there has been a little bit of that tendency with the Alabama tackles lately. That has happened because of who are the twins that played there? The
Bouncies?
No, at Alabama. Anyway, I think that if anybody, I think Leatherwood, because of his footwork, will fall a bit out of those. That's why I took Eichenberg over other Leatherwood there in that spot when I had a choice for him. But yeah, I really don't see any huge fallers. Mowering is the big surprise for me because of everybody had to get for need, had to, And he fell only because of need of other teams, not because he's not a good player. He's a great player.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's we're about at the hour and a half mark, so we're going to go ahead and get out of here. We appreciate you guys taking a watch with us, looking through our mock draft. Let us know where we went right, where we went wrong, a pick you like, a pick you didn't like, anything like that. Hit us up on Twitter at The Sports Summit. Let us know what's going on. Chris can be found on Twitter at NattyLight2822. And I'm on Twitter at CMSestuff, and Coach isn't on Twitter.
They won't let me.
That's for reasons. We're keeping you down. So, but we appreciate you guys hanging out with us. We will be back next Monday with, I'm sure, lovely talk about the Super League that is to come. So,
thanks for joining us.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, if you're media or if you're somebody that's going to talk about sports, be what?
Be responsible media. Media.
Responsible media, indeed. So we will talk to you guys next Monday. Have a good week.
How can I fix my draft board, Chris? Is there any way to delete?
We're still live. We're still live.
Well, that's okay. How can I fix my draft board?
Why are we still live? What's going on?
They want to keep us on. Yeah.
We're still on.
Everybody just leave studio.
Yeah.
That'd be my guess.
That's abandonment. That's not responsible media.
Yep.
Oh, no. You have to stop it. That's right.
Yeah. Why are we still going? Welcome to the after party.
We're doing an encore. We're going to do round two.
Summit. Yeah, you didn't think it was going to happen.